Ah, my tight-lipped friend. You got out too. I would have helped, but clearly you knew what you were doing. Welcome to Savos, home of the Diora University, the Capodomus Cathedral, art galleries, and of course, the mighty Colossus of Savos. The true cultural center of the League. And as such, everything here has a price. Ah, here we are. The Black Horse Theater.
The dragon approached the first little orc house and said, little orc, let me in.
That is Claudina, the owner, performer, and if you, like me, are looking for something specific, she'll know who bought, sold, or stole whatever it is you're looking for. Let's grab a table. While we wait, I'll start the next chapter of the Noobs at Love.
So we went laughing again.
And what a difference in a way. Yeah. Like, it's kind of crazy coming into it the second time and comparing. I mean, we'll get to it, obviously, but comparing, like, the emotional build-up to the from the first laugh to the second laugh.
I was way more comfortable this time.
I mean, just the actual kind of sensation, right? The nerves we'll get to and the fact that they don't exist, or at least not in the same way. In the second time.
Well, I was really excited about coming to the next event. Yeah. And I had loads of weird things happen to me after the LARP where... Mm-hmm. Okay, so talking about my character, Ifan.
Right.
Okay, so after the LARP, I started thinking about Ifan.
Yeah.
In general terms, right? Like, what's he up to? Like, who... Like, how is he reacting to everything that happened at E1?
You know? Well, like, because we were... When we got through the first
We should say as well, we missed on E2 and we went to E3. Yeah. So if that's why, basically. E3 is what type of...
So that's the... So E1 is the winter.
Yeah.
Then there's the spring, so we went to the summer equinox.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then we missed that one due to, like, personal commitments, which we were...
Just a variety of reasons, right? We just didn't make it in. I mean, I'd been...
But that was what made it so much worse, because it wasn't like we had any real...
Yeah.
We had so long to think about going LARPing again, right?
I think the thing is, because we went to the first one, obviously, and in that, as we kind of discussed in the last one, it was kind of a sort of a training mission almost, right, for our characters. And I never really... role played my character out, not really, apart from that one moment I had with the guys, the guys in Eurozone, who I'd kind of done that stuff with. And then this time round, like, as you say, kind of going into it, I was a bit more like, yeah, how's my character feeling? How are the events of last time affected him?
I found my character's definitely started to solidify. It's not a solid object yet. But there's way more, like, aspects to him that are, like, I start to understand now, how he reacts to certain things, how he lives in the world of Empire with other characters. I mean, like, let's kind of go through some of the... This one's going to be a kind of pre-going to the LARP again, generally, right? Yeah. So, like I was saying, with having not been for however many months, having missed an event, I was like, well, I wasn't on my farm making money, right? Yeah. So it kind of... open my mind up to the idea of what have I actually been up to in that time. So I kind of thought, like, of all the different character stuff that has been going on, I kind of feel like he's just getting back to the Empire. So he's been walking the trods, which are the Navarre,
the magical roads that link everything together, kind of.
And
thing.
He's been visiting different parts of the Empire, just like I have IC or whatever, in character.
Yeah.
Learning about the different nations that I wanted to learn about, you know?
And yeah.
It's weird to have a kind of duality to it, you know?
And I think also, I guess we've both done this, I think. We've made, like, not alterations to our characters, but growth to our characters, which reflects, I think, how we feel about certain things with regards to LARP in total. So, for example, like, we obviously walked in, we were nervous in the first one.
Yeah.
And that kind of, we kind of translated that, if you like, into the sort of the whole skeptical of what the Empire is kind of trait and stuff as walk in. And then, of course, we had such a fucking amazing time that it made us, like, we as OC are excited about Empire, excited about LARP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that will translate naturally into how we are IC.
Yeah.
And that is how my character feels, right? He came back from this harsh place and saw that actually, as much as everybody's complaining about how bad the Empire is, we kind of...
It was
think
better than what
it.
We had it,
yeah,
right?
It's better how we seen a place without the Empire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was really interesting. So we could kind of explain some of that excitement
mm-hmm.
that our characters have and we as people have being in going to our second Empire event, our second time in Anvil,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know. A return to Anvil is like a really kind of cool part of our story.
How did you, how was your kind of character kind of feeling over that time? Like, what, how do you feel about Talis?
So I feel like, as I say, Talis kind of came back and was actually really open to the idea of what it could be to reintegrate into the Empire mm. rather than sort of target the Ashborn towards being this separate entity
mm-hmm.
to what we are. I mean, there still is that.
Oh, just a Ashborn is our striding, which
yeah.
is our group.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, and obviously everything that we say here in about in character information is obviously just stuff that.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna sell the farm on telling stuff about in character stuff. So.
But whatever you hear, obviously it's yeah. obviously we're happy for you to know it. But if you see us, if you go to Empire, obviously, you won't know this. Information mm-hmm. necessarily, so obviously treat us and that the information you're getting here OC.
Oh, we should just do that real quick, right? So me and Ian are literally doing this podcast. It's just for fun for us.
Yeah.
It's and we were pretty stunned by the amount of people that actually downloaded
amazing.
It. We
amazing.
Really like and the response from people that like commenting and just getting cut.
Just the fact that people watch it is incredible, right?
Listen to it. Yeah, but it's amazing, right?
Yeah.
We're both chuffed to bits, but
yeah.
we really are genuinely just normal dudes. We like I might as well do this now, since we're talking
about.
So I bumped into a couple of people that we met at E1, a guy called John, a girl called Emily, and they came up to me and they were like, "Oh, we listened to the podcast. Like, it was really good. You should make some more." Blah blah. Blah. I didn't know how to react to
it's
it.
It's very strange,
right?
Very
so if you do come up to either one of us and either want to berate us for how terrible this podcast is,
yeah.
or say something nice about it, don't be surprised that we're like. Not the chatty people you hear talking to each other at this point, right?
Sure.
Because it's I think that's something worth saying, right?
Yeah, and I think really if you think about why we really did the podcast, or certainly why I'm involved and why I think you got us involved, is it's such a crazy thing to do in your life
mm-hmm.
that in a way having podcasts to look forward to for us
mm-hmm.
is just a way of keeping that hype going, because the hype between Empire events it's something quite insane.
Oh man,
it's weird how involved you are in like
I watched so many videos on medieval combat.
Yeah,
like I went on a massive YouTube binge and just that a lot of the stuff isn't LARP relevant necessarily.
No.
But it does teach you a few basic concepts, right? And that stuff's like,
but even like the fact that like, you know, you're part of the Facebook group and you get all the alerts of what the Facebook group are doing and stuff, and like the Empire and Navarre group and all that kind of stuff. And whenever a notification comes up, you get a bit excited and click on it because it's something about LARP, which is some, you know, this world that you're part
the
of.
The dark side of LARPing
so
is
good.
The Facebook addiction that Luke comes to.
Like, I look at so much stuff. It's so interesting to see people's characters and the stuff they've posted up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's exciting.
Well, especially now that I actually know who those people are.
Yeah.
Well, some of them,
some
right?
Of them. Yeah,
of
and
them.
There's so many people you don't know, and they all
yeah.
are amazing. Like, so many different...
Right, I'm going to go... What are we talking about here? I want to quickly go through... Oh. I decided to write a letter
yes.
to the... Okay, so if you listen to the last lot, I spoke about how we accidentally walked into the orc camp and
yeah.
met the orc Ashborn, which was ridiculous. And I was like, oh, should we do some RP with them? So I decided that I would try and get in contact
yeah.
with them, joined the orcs Facebook group, got in touch with them. Sent them a letter. Didn't get one back in time. I was a bit close to the actual event when I actually
yeah.
did get in contact with them.
I think there's so much stuff to organise.
But that was pretty exciting.
That was exciting.
I mean, I'm going to leave that for the time being. And if they want to do something, then cool. If not, then we good.
I mean, I think like we've had loads of like, I see so many different interactions where you're like, you know, how's this going to evolve?
How excited we were about the orcs and everything like that. And we banged on about it for a while in the last one.
Yeah.
There are lots of different nations that we met now that we are like, ooh, I want to know way more about them.
Highgard, love to know way more about
Highgard.
Because there's this, well, we'll get to it, but all the kind of
there's a mystery,
the stuff they've been doing.
There's some mystery around those guys and they seem, anyway.
Yeah.
But that's LARP content.
That's LARP content.
We
you know me, I always run into it.
Right, what have you been up to?
So, for me, like, I wanted to, like, I really got into the crafting thing last time and there were certain things I did want to craft this time. But I've been moving house for a ridiculously long period mm-hmm. of time. So just getting everything together and piecing it all together was such a
well, you wanted to make shields, didn't you?
I really want to do some shields. I've seen some guy, a guy called Robert on the Navarre Facebook group,
mm-hmm.
and he'd posted up this picture of this gorgeous asymmetrical shield that
it's
he'd made.
It's dope. It's so
dope. It looks
dope.
So good.
And
so
he
him
made some videos as well. For
yeah,
this,
well, that's
videos.
Actually because I got in touch with him and I said, like, you know, how did you do this? Like, could you post up ways that you did it? And he said he'd make a YouTube video. Didn't think anything of it. Got back in touch with him a little bit after that. I was like, you know, yeah, if you've got any information on how to make a shield, you know, mm-hmm. what's good stuff to buy. And so he said, I'm going to be putting a video up soon. And then he put the video up. And that was just really cool. Just, I never actually managed to get my shit together in order to make the shield that I wanted to make for you. But it was cool. It's just so cool. It's really cool being able to contact people. And the biggest one for me was I wanted to get a cloak made, because
mm-hmm.
last time I had a really shitty cloak that was an important part of what my character is, which is the fact that he has a kind of dual heritage, Navarre and Urizen. He had a cloak that is on the one side green for the Navarre and one side purple, which is mm-hmm. for the Urizen. And so this time I really wanted to sort of make more of that, because that was a big part of him. So I got in touch.
That cloak is so dope,
it's
by
so
the way.
Good.
Do you remember the name of the lady that did it?
Well, so I just saw randomly on the Facebook suggestion mm-hmm. things. One thing was that for this thing called Cantrips, and just basically a clove maker, that's the name of her shop, she's called Kate. Just, and I just got in touch with her, I was like, you know, how much would it cost to have a cloak made? Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, at first I thought, like, this is going to be way out of my price range.
When you mentioned it, I was like, how much money are you dropping
and
on
then,
this?
And then, like, I got in touch with her, we started talking about it. I said, you know, how much would this cost? So, proposed this idea that obviously wanted essentially a dual coloured cloak. And the price she sent me was really, really reasonable.
Do you
like,
want to say it?
Well, no, I mean, I think I'll leave that up to her. If
okay,
I get
in case
touch,
she changes
she
prices.
To,
yeah,
and stuff. I think that's only fair.
I would actually say, but I will
but
say,
extremely
I will
reasonable
vouch
price.
Extremely, extremely,
you'd struggle to buy, like, a cloak from a LARP retailer for cheaper than what I got this custom-made cloak for. And that was a really cool experience to work with a creative person who has interest in the world. She's been to Empire LARP before, and was able to sort of do
a
creative process.
Well, she said, oh, which nations are these for? What
exactly.
did you, what constellations did you want?
Well, that was the interesting thing. So she said it was a certain price, and then I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an extra fiver just so you can get some extra things to just go crazy and be creative on it.
Now that is value for money, right?
And
there.
That extra fiver was amazing, because when she came back to me, it was like, okay, and I just suggested what I'd kind of in dream world like is this, the Ashbourne symbol, green on green on the Navarre side of the cloak,
mm-hmm.
and then something to represent, something colourful, I guess, on the Urizen side. And then she suggested, oh, we could do beading on the inside of the cloak. And I was like, that sounds interesting. He said, well, and she said, why don't we do it using different constellations? So she said, pick out a bunch of constellations. And Empire has its own constellations that you can look up on the wiki, and they all have their own meanings. And what's really cool is they actually are our stars. Like, you could draw those constellations using our stars.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool. So I picked out three constellations, the Phoenix, the Chain, and I think it's the Chalice. I can't remember.
Pop quiz, what do they each mean?
So they're basically all about knowledge and freedom.
Wow, I literally thought I was throwing you a curveball just then.
Yeah, no. There's different ones and how they kind of, they all relate to different things.
And it's part of your character,
right?
That's so good.
So now I have this double-sided cloak, which just looks sick as, just absolutely sick. It just looks cool
as
fuck, right?
It's dope.
And then I can put this on, and it's got this kind of interesting purple line, which I think most people won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I didn't get to do it.
I think
but
it's
I
kind of
to...
meant to be subtle, though.
Yeah,
right?
I want. I
like,
well, that's why I said
you are Navarre, right?
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
want to be. It's kind of part of your character.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. What did you do then?
So then, after that, it was getting that delivered, and then just putting that on. I think that added so much more to my character. Mm-hmm. I got a bit of that feeling, you know, last time you'd mentioned, like, getting kit always does something for your character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I got some metal van braces.
We'll get to that as well, yeah.
And I got some metal gauntlets, which have, like, these metal gloves for the
they're right there, and they
the
look.
Sort of top part of the fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And not that part looks absolutely incredible, doesn't quite go with the sort of style and the mobility that I need.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously was able to offer them to you in the end, and I think they'll look really good with your character.
They look awesome.
But yeah, it was just crazy just getting all these little things, say getting these metal van braces, getting slightly better stuff to pouch all of my medical things in, and things like that.
Shall we talk about apple bobbing?
Apple bobbing, yeah. Well, that was a big thing, because like, we wanted to do, like, last time we wanted to have the beef jerky and stuff to sell,
mm-hmm.
and this time, bear in mind, it's been extremely hot, we should say. We've been having the most insane heat wave.
Yeah. Really hot again.
So we thought, leading up to that, let's do something else that's interesting. And I just came up with this idea randomly of, like, I think I suggested it to you kind of as a joke, but I guess
it's so good.
I was like, what if we did apple bobbing?
Bobbing in hot weather. It's genius.
For prizes.
We came up with this, Ian came up with this thing. Actually, we kind of ping-ponged it, right?
Ian
and Dave, creative showdown, which is always a pleasure.
It was great, and it was just, because you suddenly went, you leapt on it. That's a fucking amazing idea. And that gave me the confidence to pitch the idea in full as I had it.
Yeah.
In my
so
head.
The idea is, what is it? Losers and was it losers?
You get
and,
the apple anyway.
You win the apple.
You win the apple.
You sit down. You
and then we skewer the apple on a chopstick, which has shame or gain written on it.
Shame or gain.
So it's the apple of shame. The apple of gain. And if you win, you also get a prize.
Yeah.
So, and we made all these different things.
We got pretty goddamn into it, crafty,
right?
Didn't we?
You'd made a bunch of bracelets. I made a bunch of necklaces.
I made bracelets. And bear in mind, I'm not the sort of person that would ever think about making a bracelet. Like, that's not something I have ever done before.
Yeah.
And I
laugh will make you do strange things.
And
though.
I just went, oh, man, I can buy all this stuff for that much. And
yeah.
How hard could it be?
It's not actually that expensive. And I think again, like your advice you gave in the last one of like, just bring stuff, sell it or give it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just partly, again, like this podcast I mentioned earlier, we do it because it's just something to keep your hands busy and your mind busy when you're just dealing with the loss of LARP. Because you can't inject LARP into your veins. So you need to sort of have like substitutes, which is kit building for
LARP. I played loads of Crusader Kings 2, which is a really dense strategy game.
Incredibly dense.
It's set in the medieval era. Yeah. And I was just like, it's the closest thing I've got. It will have to do, you know?
Yeah, dude. It was fantastic. I think like, so we pitched this idea. Unfortunately, when the actual time came round, the weather took a slight turn, and it just went from being perfect apple bobbing.
And we tested it on the Friday.
We
with
did
some,
test it. It
some
was
neighbors,
great.
Right?
Yeah.
And
some wonderful chaps.
Yeah, just getting involved, and just he really committed.
He committed.
To getting that
the
apple
thing
out.
Is, he went down to get the apple.
There was There was a moment where he first dipped his face in to try and get it, and he was like, "Oh, this is kind of embarrassing."
I shouted at him. "Get the fuck
and
in there!"
And then he just went
for it.
Berserk. It was just white water frothing, and this guy's head moving around for this apple. It was,
and he got the apple, dude.
Yeah, 25 seconds.
Seconds, and that's what we thought. About 30 seconds would be a good time, you know, to sort of set it, because we want to do a test run, see how we'd run it.
Yeah, so you can see how excited we are. We're talking about it.
About apple bobbing,
happen. We've got plates full of like all the different prizes you can win. And you've got fans.
Yes.
Which in the heat was a brilliant idea.
Yep.
Necklaces. We have actual little apple things on them, and they look really good.
Yeah.
What else was there? Was that about it?
And you made two different types of bracelets.
And I really like the wooden ones.
Yeah,
I'm going to make more
really
of those.
Good.
They look really good.
We'll have to do something with them next time. We've got all of this stuff now, so we don't have to maybe craft more stuff.
Yeah, but when are we going to fucking apple bob? It's not going to
happen. It's not
going to
be apple
bobbing
again, so it's going to be some other thing. We'll come up with something else, or we'll just sell them, I guess.
Damn it. It's worth like getting loads of fire and just trying to make everyone so hot that you have to. You have to
get
apple bob.
Force into apple bob. But we'll get it. Maybe next year we'll do apple bobbing. Who knows?
Okay. I'm gonna do my sword, just because.
Yeah. Well, again, it comes into the kit building part of it, right?
Yeah. So
leading up to it, we've been thinking a lot about your loadout, I think.
Okay.
Like,
so I bought a really cheap axe and a really cheap shield.
Yeah.
And it suited my purposes at the time.
Oh yeah.
But like size does matter,
mm-hmm.
right? That is. Definitely a thing. Well, for me anyway, because I'm probably not the best. I don't know.
We'll get to that, right?
So I was like, I started looking around and trying to find out, and the maximum length of a sword, like tip to hilt or whatever, was it 42
inches? Yeah, 42. Which is pretty big, to be honest with you. I think that's
which
quite
is,
generous.
I mean, that's whopping.
That's big, right?
But So I was looking, oh, should I get like a long one? I even asked someone in the Facebook groups, like, what's the deal?
People
like,
are really helpful as well, right? But there was, I mean, you must have got, what, like 30,
I would say
different responses?
Most people, size does matter.
Yeah.
There were some people that were like, well, if you have two short swords or you have like a staff and like a side sword or whatever, there was a whole bunch of different stuff. And I think that's very, but I decided for me,
yeah,
I'm going to go for a big boy, right? Yeah. Like, so
well, I was straight up that you should go for a 42-inch.
Oh, and one thing everyone was saying was try and get a feel of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like you want
to... So good being able to go to the event.
So good.
And they've got all the sellers there the whole time you're there. So if anything broke or you just found that you just were lacking something, obviously you've got to take money with you. It's not... I mean, LARP is an expensive hobby to an extent. So you've got to be willing to drop some dollar return places. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind, they sell it, I think, at very reasonable prices. But it's, I mean, it's bespoke stuff a lot of the time
you're
dealing with.
It's a niche market, dude.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You've got to accept, like, a lot of time and effort gets spent on everything you buy. And you've got to pay the money to a certain extent if you want to get the stuff. But there's the benefit of being able to go there, pick up your weapon, pick up your shield, you know, have a feel of how it actually operates is, like, so much better than just being able to buy it off a website or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's... and. Of course, have bought a bunch of stuff off websites as well, and they've been fantastic.
I went to, I can't even remember the name of the place I went to, it was an online thing, and I was looking at swords around that length, and they were like 110 for the ones I really liked. I think they varied from about 80 to 90 and then up. And I messaged them, I said, oh, are you going to be Anvil this year? Or Empire, I said Empire.
Yeah.
They were like, no, we're not there, but we'll try and be there. And I was just like, no, I think I'll save it. So... I went shopping on the date. And
that was on Friday, just straight away.
Oh, yeah. Driving down there, suddenly realised, hadn't brought my cash with me.
I bought a bit of cash, but not a lot.
Like, I think I had like 15 quid on me or something like 20 quid just from just having it in my wallet, which I never usually do. So it was just fortuitous that it happened to be there. But basically, pretty much everywhere at Anvil does cards.
At certain times, there was certain busy points, certain shops went... their card machines went down. So I would say if you can bring cash, bring a certain amount of cash. I would say that you should definitely be bringing some cash.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to buy food, if the sellers, for whatever reason, their card machines aren't working or whatever, having a bit of cash so you can go and get yourself some vital food to keep your calories and your liquid intake up.
Look after yourself,
crucial.
People.
Can't yeah, and that's it. The thing. You have to look after yourself. And I think we did, and we were very sensible.
Mm-hmm.
Always had water with us or water close by. And
oh, especially the water. Yeah. Right. Anyway, so I went on and I went down to a few different shops, looked at the different wares.
Yeah.
And I came across one place and they were so nice that I didn't need to look at anywhere else. They showed me a few different, so I explained what I wanted.
Yeah.
They went through, they started talking about what nation I was with and maybe this would look better. And they went through the whole, they were really engaged.
Really, really good.
In what I was doing. And it was kind of got irregular props.
Right,
mad props to irregular props.
Yeah,
so
fantastic. And I like instantly when I, because you'd obviously already had a look early on. And I went down with you later, and you were picking basically between two swords at that.
Yeah,
point.
At that point,
they were both really nice swords. Yeah. We should say the one I know you got, I think the better of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But even the other one was sweet, right? It was a very different field.
I spent 70 quid, and I love my sword.
Yeah, like, and I think it's that sword.
I love it.
Coupled with borrowing my shield. Because being an archer, I'm not really using my shield.
No, hopefully not getting into the LARP. But like, I had a really good weekend, basically, of fighting. It was, I felt a massive upgrade.
Yes.
Let me put it that way, right?
Yeah, it was like you had, I guess, literally been to...
I'd leveled up. I'd found new items, new loot that had been dropped.
Yeah.
And I'd picked it up and...
Yeah, you'd literally gone.
I didn't.
Ye old shoppy and bought awesome stuff.
Way more damage per second now. way more. Just
so good.
Right. So, I'm out of things to talk about pre-LARP.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing is any other player contact that we'd had. So my contacts in Eurozone got back in touch with me, mentioned because I wanted to understand what had happened with them at E2 specifically, because obviously I'm more involved in
their character.
That's
one thing we talked about. We didn't go to E2 and we heard that a lot of people got wrecked.
Yes.
Right? And this will be a theme in this LARP, was I didn't see military units training on E1.
Yeah.
I definitely saw each nation training military.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big thing.
I think a lot of people in a lot of different nations in E2, as you say, got destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, and especially if a lot of those people are new characters, I think a lot of people were very supportive of the fact that maybe that, like, having a couple, like, having one of us die as our first, say, three of, like how we did last time, three of us went to LARP and one of us had died at the event, that would be fine. But it would be, it would kind of suck if all three of us died.
Imagine, like, oh, well, we'll just... Oh, who are you? Like, people, yeah, and we'll just come and move into these dead people's camp because there's no one
exactly.
left.
If we all got wiped out with like half a day or a day to go, it would kind of suck. So I think a lot of people noticed that. Well, and thought,
death,
you know, you've got to try and...
Death is a very real thing, though.
It's, death is a real thing, and I think that's great that that can happen, but I think people recognised that it was necessary to get train up the military units a bit better, train up the newbies a bit better. They put a lot of emphasis now.
I think
even
a,
the new players...
There's a lot to how a unit fights, right? A unit with less people that are all really, really good is better than a large unit with a mixture of different, you know.
And the thing is, if you're a big body of people, but
that's dependent on a few things, but generally. You were just saying Eurozen, sorry.
So I got in touch with them and just to ask them what they've been up to at E2. And just to get a grasp of where their characters are and where their... Spire, which is the Eurozen version of a Steading or a Striding, where they kind of are sitting in the world. Because obviously with my character not being there, I had to come up with some kind of explanation of where I could possibly be. That made me in turn think about OC, what Talus has been up to. So he's gone back to this kind of part of the world that was outside the Empire. He kind of snuck back in and found those people that we had to leave behind.
So you were basically going back and finishing something that you...
Finishing the job there and then coming back to Empire, getting people safe, right? And that kind of is when my character, I guess, hit maybe a certain similar beats to your character. My character was just recognising the fact that there's problems in the Empire, there's corruption in the Empire, and there's lots of things that are negatives in the Empire. You know, a bit of backbiting between the different nations and stuff like that. But compared to the non-Empire lands... It's so sweet to do that.
Interestingly, though, we came to this conclusion separately.
Yes, exactly. We hadn't talked about it.
No.
But we just literally, I think the night before even, just were like, you know, you just
we were
said,
just shooting the shit, right? This is what I've been up to, this is what I've been thinking about.
And
then
you just was so funny how, like, your ultimate, very different stories, but how the ultimate conclusions were that they both feel
pretty good.
Pretty good about
excited
the Empire,
about being back at Anvil, finding our places within it. I feel like this is exactly where we should stop because we're done. We're going to come back and we'll do the actual LARP proper. It might be a big one,
one.
Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know how many times it might get broken up more. But we'll see what we've got to talk about, right?
Yeah,
we'll
really good there. Time. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll join you again soon.
Hello, honey bunch. It's always a delight to have you grace my humble establishment.
Claudina, my darling. A magnificent performance as always.
I received your letter. Quite an interesting item you're looking for. Are you sure you want to find it?
I understand the risks.
Well, I hope you do. Let's see some coin then. Well, that item was sold at auction to a Dor noble called Godwin Morch. Rumour has it he has more money than sense. Probably has no idea what he bought. I heard he was wearing it on a necklace.
Where's this buffoon now?
Gone on campaign in search of glory. I'm sure the druge will oblige him.
By the virtues, we must make haste. To the port without delay.